Hello and welcome to another Thought for the Day from New Milton Evangelical Free Church. Let's pray as we come to God's Word this morning. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence with rejoicing. We know that you are with us by your Spirit. We know that in Christ we are yours forever, that you have saved us from darkness and death and transported us into your kingdom of light. And we praise you for all of this. So light up your Word now, like the dawn in the sky, that we may see its beauty, that we may drink in its glory, that we may walk in the light of the truth that you reveal to us in what you have done in us. In his name, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So we're going to read from Ephesians chapter 1, and this morning we're in verses 18 to 23. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 onwards. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Well, here we are in what I have called at the beginning of our working through Ephesians, God's fireworks, looking at some more glorious truths, sparklers and rockets, if you like, that shoot up and shed their light on us and astound us with their beauty and their magnificence. So these truths this morning, what's Paul doing in these verses? Well, he's expanding what he has just said. He's saying about his prayer for these Ephesian Christians, and you'll see at the end of the previous verse, he says, my prayer is that you may know him better. So what is God's intention for you when you believe in Christ? What's God after in doing in your Christian life? He wants you to know Jesus better. And we've seen in that previous verse that he does this by his Spirit, that he gives the Christian the spirit of wisdom and revelation. You need to be able to see, God needs to show you, that's revelation, and you need to be able to understand what you see. That's wisdom, that's actually your understanding of what God is showing you. But more specifically than that, Paul, what exactly are you praying for us as believers in Christ? Well, Paul itemizes these three things, and this is what we're going to look at this morning. You need the eyes of your heart enlightened. You need that inner sight which is able to look and see these truths of God and know that they are real. You need your eyes open, but there's no point if you wake up in the night sometimes and you open your eyes, but it's pitch black. There's no point in having your eyes open because you can't see anything, it's still dark. But when the light is there, your eyes are open and they see. And so it is that as God reveals himself to us, explains himself to us in his word, if our eyes are opened by the Spirit of God working in us, we can understand the truth that he is proclaiming to us. So let's look at these three things that Paul wants us to focus on this morning. First of all, the hope to which he has called you. Now, we were looking at this in our sermon on Sunday evening, the future hope when Jesus comes again. And we need to grab hold of this as Christians. We need to see today in the perspective of eternity. We need to see what's happening to us now in the light of the forever that God promises us. And then it begins to take its own sort of relevant position. So if you're going through a hard time at the moment, you're suffering in your mind or even in your body, if you feel spiritually down, look at all of these things just temporary, because in the light of eternity, they will be as if they were nothing. That's not to minimize them. It's just to say that what we will see then will outweigh the pain that we feel now. The hope to which he has called us. We've got to actually enlarge that in our understanding so that we see our lives now in its light. Secondly, the inheritance he has in you. And no, you didn't hear that wrong. It's not your inheritance that he has, that you have in him, that Paul is talking about here. It's Jesus' inheritance in his people. You see, God has promised to his son a bride who is worthy of him. And he said, this is Jesus' right. It's what God the Father owes the Son. And what he owes the Son is a perfected church built up in his strength and in his power, so that that church glorifies Jesus. So what Paul is praying for here is that these Christians would realize that what is God is about is not actually doing something for you. He's doing something for Jesus, and he's doing it in you as you live for him. Now, isn't that thrilling? You see, you're caught up into God's purposes. It's like he wraps his plans around you and says, you are a part of this, and you are actually fulfilling. Look at those words at the end. The church, his body, the fullness. You see, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. What expresses all that Jesus is in the world? It's the church. The church is the fullness of Jesus in this world and will be for eternity. And then the third thing, and this is absolutely amazing too, the power he has for you, for us who believe. You see that? It's incomparably great power for us who believe. Now, what does that power look like? Power is a word, it's easy to use. Without definition, it really doesn't sort of say much to us. But here it is described to us. This is the power that raised Jesus from the dead. This is the power that took him back into the heavenly places and seated him at the right hand of the Father. What power does it take to break the grave, to break death? That's what God did when he brought Jesus out of his tomb. What power does it do to take a man from the earth, his own son, glorified in the cross and the resurrection, and take him back into the heavenly places to be seated at his right power? Immeasurably great power. Now, this is what God is saying to you, believer, my brother, my sister, this morning. That's the power at work in your life. Doesn't it break everything that could hold you? Doesn't it shatter all the chains? Doesn't it sort of expand the borders so that you can enlarge and enjoy the freedom that that power brings you into? Because you were raised with Christ from the dead when you believed. You were dead in your sins. You are now alive in him. And what Paul says in Ephesians is you were also lifted with him into the heavenly places. We're going to see that a little later on in chapter 2. So where you are now, maybe you feel like you're trudging through life, you know, head down, as we were saying on Sunday, like walking through a rainstorm, just getting through some old how. God says, no, you need to get this. You are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. God has done that in your life. And he did it by his power, which he poured into your life and infused you with this life in Christ. Let's praise him. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we just delight in this. We want it to thrill our hearts. We want it to lift us from the doldrums. We want it to dispel the gloom that the devil would surround us with. And we want to rejoice in the light that it brings us. So help us to praise you as we walk in these truths today. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.